Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Playful Humans podcast. I'm your host, Mike Montague, and my guests this week are Libby Rappin and Lisa Thompson. They're from Blue Wave Wellbeing. You can find them at bluewavewellbeing.com. The link's in the show notes, but if you just subtract that first E, you will get there as well. Blue without an E. And then you can find them at Blue Wave Wellbeing on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or a good YouTube follow too. So if you are watching this on YouTube right now, click open a new window and find Lisa and Lib on YouTube and subscribe to their channel as well. To find Playful Humans, go to playfulhumans.com and share this podcast with somebody that needs to hear it. Here we go. Don't wait for Lisa and Libby, welcome to the podcast. We like to start with the joke of the week here. The joke of the week is brought to you by shopping centers. If you've seen one shopping center, you've seen them all. Shopping centers. Okay, here's the joke. What do you call a pencil without lead?
A pencil without lead?
Never mind. It's pointless.
Giving our joke.
Yeah, there you go. So do you have a joke for us you want to share?
We do. It's very corny, but we do. But we love corny. All right. Yeah. Who is the healthiest member of the army?
I don't know.
You want to take a guess? At all?
General no. Well-being?
Yes. How did you
get
that?
Good job.
That one, yes, we did see that one ahead of time, so I stole that one. But I appreciate you coming on the podcast. You guys do some cool things, or I should say gals do some cool things in well-being, but also with a playfulness mindset. So I feel like very similar to what my mission is here with Playful Humans. Tell me how you found playfulness, or maybe lost your playfulness and realized that that was an important thing for you.
Yeah, those are two great questions, I would say. So I'll start by saying when we were kind of going down the road of picking, we had a name called Oh Infinite Love. That's how we started as a company. And we were shifting over to Blue Wave Wellbeing. And we were really like trying to figure out this name, trying to figure out what we stood for, trying to find out like, how do we stand out amongst other people? And we both said, when we were on our wellbeing journey from being at our lowest to moving to where we are today, what was the one thing that was missing? And we both said, play. Play in our lives, play in work, play all around. We were missing that not only childlike play of like just the imagination and stuff, but like how to be innovative, how to be, have a growth mindset. And so that's really how we kind of evolved into utilizing, we have six pillars of play that we focus on because honestly, like we were missing it. And I would say that since we've been on this journey, it's been really fun for us to see the playfulness come back alive because we were taking life really seriously there for a little bit.
Yeah. And I'll just add the reason that we added the play to it was because the original concept was, you know, about mental health advocacy, education and support and well-being in the workplace. And to be honest, there's a lot of people that do that or like use these keywords. And there was confusion that like, we are not therapists that go into the office and offer clinical services. What we're really focused on is helping people find balance and their mental and emotional health and their well-being overall. And so we were just sitting down one day and literally it was like, okay, well, what about our journey stands out? Why do we do what we do? And you said it, you were just like, play. And I was like, play, that's so risky, right? It's risky to talk about playing in the workplace. However, when we really thought about it, it was, yes, we bought into the hustle and the grind. We wanted to work our way up the corporate ladder. We took life ridiculously seriously. We were working ridiculous amounts of hours and we took the play out of life. I couldn't even have told you what I like to do for fun back then, but we kind of took it a step further because of the mental health stuff and said, okay, so how cognitively can we help people embody a playful mindset in order to experience well-being? So it's not just about fun and games, but how do we approach life in a more playful way and embody this playful mindset so that we can be happier and more fulfilled and more engaged in our lives?
I love that. And there's a lot to unpack there. Let's start with, I always kind of like to start at the beginning and kind of where we lost it. So I think both of you had real like traditional jobs, 9-to-5 things. Where do you think for you or for most people things go off track, and maybe why that path isn't as fulfilling as we're all told that it should be or could be?
Yeah, I think for me personally, you know, if you take me back to even when I was 18 years old, picking what when I grew up, when I was going into college, I really wanted to find the job that was stable, that I could climb the corporate ladder, that I made good money. And those were actually my like points. Completely honest, I wanted to work in broadcasting or I wanted to work in nonprofit space. But because of all the stories that people had told me, I was too scared to go that route. I started out that way, but I was like, oh, that's too risky for the lifestyle. I'm going to take the another way. So I went into corporate communications. And don't get me wrong, loved my life. But there was always that missing piece of there's more that I should be doing. I was given these gifts. And something's missing. And I think for everybody, it's a little bit different because I really did enjoy my job. But I think over time, I was playing into what other people expected of me. I wasn't listening to my intuition. I was working crazy hours because I think that that's what I was thinking that was expected of me. Did I really need to do that? Probably not. You know, I looked at when I was given opportunities as I couldn't say no because, wow, they picked me. And I wish I would have had the well-being tools, the confidence then to tell myself, like, that's a great opportunity, but my mental well-being needs to come first. But I didn't know how to say no. And so it really took me basically like on bed rest to finally have that reality call. And I think that's why it's so important for me, because I don't want end up like that. I don't want people to, I was not a happy girl then, yeah. You know, and I apologize to all my friends all the time. Like, oh my gosh, I was like probably the worst friend. I was just not happy. And luckily, you know, they all still love me and stuff, but I really had to come back from that. I would say
my story was very similar there too, because I did broadcasting and radio, but I also like took occasional like corporate jobs or very serious things. And I think when you're young, there is a certain amount of balancing it out, right? You do have to pay the bills. And so you don't want to be a starving artist, but at the same time, you don't need to go all in on a 8-to-5 corporate job for the rest of your life either. I think some of the points that people miss are that you can go back and forth, or you can do both. You can have fun in a corporate job, or you can be serious in your play. It doesn't have to be one or the other. What about for you, Libby?
Yeah, I was just going to add, like, so I have a very similar experience to Lisa, but what I was thinking as you asked that question, we just had a conversation about this before this podcast of the conditioning that happens with kids and how we lose the sense of playfulness. So saying things to kids like, be a big girl, big boys don't cry, or, you know, kids are creating something out of, you know, pots and pans, or they're trying to draw something. We're like, that's not what a cat looks like when you draw it, or that's not how you build an airplane, but they're using their imagination. That's for them what it looks like. They see something in that. And so they stop creating because they get put down so many times and they're told that they're doing it wrong. So it's like, well, okay, so I'm just not going to do this anymore. So we stop maybe dreaming. We stop using our imagination. You know, like my niece, like she loves to put costumes on and to dress up. And I love nothing more when I see a child wearing their pajamas to the store or wearing a costume at Target, you know, but at one point we're like, adults don't do that. I love it. And so we lose the sense of playfulness as we become adults because we get conditioned to act proper and be more, I don't know. I don't even know what the words of proper is probably. I'll just kind of stop there before I get into trouble. So we lose the sense of playfulness. And I'm not perfect by any means. I can still take life very seriously, but I think that I realize that at some point, I know I'm not from the small, most people agree with us when they hear our stories and they think about the conditioning and why they stop playing and they see what they reflect and grow this awareness and how are they talking to their kids of like, oh, this makes sense and how we can lose this as adults. So then it's like, how do we get this back? Right.
And yeah, what's so interesting is we are all born with these skills and this innate ability, but it gets beat out of it. I guess for me, I kind of heard three things there. One is just grades in school and measuring things. And I think that's really dangerous, especially in our society now with all the technology we have, and we're measuring our steps and our play and stuff. It's like, really, do we need something on our body 24/7 to tell us how much we're moving and stuff? Like, I'm pretty sure we all know how to walk. We could do that without measuring it. But school and grades start, you know, putting into your head that there's a right answer or a wrong answer. And most of life is like an improv or a piece of music where there's no right piece of music. There's no wrong way to do it. And I think that messes people up. And then there's also just that certain amount of other people's expectations that you mentioned. So whether it's we hit puberty and we just want to start impressing people, or we feel like we need to impress people to get a job or get paid, I think there's a lot there. But I love you mentioned one of my favorite examples is drawing. If you think about drawing a picture from your imagination, you can look and see where everybody gave up on their drawing skills, right? If you can do a stick figure, you probably quit before you were like 5 or 6 years old. If you can do some sort of house and a cloud and some sun, maybe you made it to middle school. And then anybody that can actually draw maybe made it into high school with those skills. But most adults have completely given up on trying to do anything artistic or creative, unless they somehow were that 1% of 1%. That made it through with positive encouragement and enough guts to keep pursuing it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll add to that, Mike. So you made me think about, like, when I was a kid, I was really into mathematics and science, which is totally not anything I do now. But what was interesting is I was part of math pentathlon and things like that. And what we did is they made games out of science and math for us. And so I became very smart in those areas. But as I got older, it wasn't as fun. I didn't get to learn in a fun way. So honestly, right. Like when I was a freshman in high school, I remember wanting to become an algebra teacher. Like, I loved algebra, but then I had to take algebra 2, calculus, all of that stuff. And I was like, nope, I'm good. And I completely quit. I'm not like, because it was no longer fun for me. And I think about that a lot because we have such an industry right now where people are wanting STEM focused women and men, and we're just lacking that in so many ways. But I look back and I'm like, well, they took the fun out of it for me. I didn't get to just build my imagination and think like, no, I had to like do it a different way. And so it's one of those things where I think a lot of us have to look back at those memories and remind ourselves, like, how do we bring the play back into it? Because it's going to be challenging. Like, as you grow in your skill sets, we can't just say like, it's going to be super easy, but like, how do you add play, innovation, all of that stuff into everything that we do?
It's something like 80% of kids have given up on sports because it's not fun anymore by the age of 13. Like, 13 is way too young to give up on moving your body or doing anything fun or competitive in sports. And I also think it's interesting now that the driving age is going up, that when I was turning 16, it was like the day you turned 16, you went and got your license. And now that's creeping up. The kids are like, no, thanks. I don't want that kind of pressure. Like, what if I wreck, or what if I embarrass myself and it ends up on TikTok or something for the whole school to see? Like, I think that kind of pressure is crazy. And we really do need a play renaissance. So let's flip this back to the positive side of things. Yes. And I think it was... for Libby, and tell me about positive psychology and how that plays into maybe the way we respond as adults.
Well, I guess I would just say, I think when we think about, you know, playfulness, and I'd love to hear more about how you kind of talk about play as well, but we talk about play as more of like this cognitive ability, this cognitive mindset. Like, we're not going out and telling people they should be playing a ton of sports and games all of the time. So that's absolutely part of it. We're talking about how do we find positive outcomes or growth opportunities or learnings in any experience that happens. So you talked about judgment, like good and bad, like judging things as good or bad. Like, how do we just see life experiences as just life experiences instead of judging them as negative or, you know, choosing to see them from a victim lens? How do we instead use a growth mindset? Or how do we instead say, you know what? this isn't how I expected things to turn out. However, I know that this is for my higher good, or there is beauty, or I'm going to learn something, or this could be redirecting me. So we kind of think of playfulness as not just, it's like a way of being. How can I be playful in everything that I do? So I don't consider myself to be a really crazy, like, I'm a playful person in the way in which I approach life and view life, but I'm not like a crazy person who's bouncing off the walls all the time and was known as a class clown or anything like that. I'm actually quite reserved. So for me, this idea of teaching play was very risky for me personally, because I want to embody this. So when we think about this idea too, of just like psychological safety and cultivating psychological safety within what we do, when we feel safe, we want to play more. We want to take more risks. We want to challenge somebody's way of thinking. We're not just going to settle for the status quo. And so I think that for me, this idea of you said psychological safety, right? Oh, you said psychology.
Yeah, both of them. both of them in there. It's all good.
See where my mind's going. But anyways, I think that when we embody playfulness, it helps us approach life very differently. We approach confidently. Our self-image is viewed differently. We're willing to take bigger and bolder risks. We can think through problems creatively. You know, sometimes even feeling playful connects us to a sense of purpose or why. Like, I just want to go into this because it's fun. Like, I started taking horseback riding lessons a while back when I was in my 30s, just because it sounded fun. You know, it only lasted for 6 months. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of over this. I don't think horses are for me. This is kind of an expensive thing to get into. I enjoyed it while I did, but you know what? I'm just going to move on. And I learned a lot, but I felt safe too in that environment. I felt safe to ask questions with the person that was teaching me. You know, there were a lot of different things as part of this. I don't know if that answers your question. I don't know if you have anything you want to add.
No, I just have to share that I think it's super funny that you asked Libby to share about positive psychology, because out of the two of us, you picked the right person. She's the data analytic, like, ooh, Lisa, but let me share the data. And I'm over here like, no. Let's have some fun. So like, I think also to back to like play and just like embodying that, it's surrounding yourself with people that have different strengths and different things. Like, I bring out something in Libby and Libby brings out something in me that like, I needed that piece of my life, but I had to allow someone to come into my life and allow to embody certain things that they've taught me, vice versa. You know, I bring out a different side of Libby that sometimes she needs, you know? And so kind of like, it's really about yourself, but it's also like, you have to surround yourself with people that not think like you, but also want to be innovative, have a positive mindset, want to create that psychological safety for you, you know? And we learn from each other that way.
Yeah, I love that. And I think everybody has both sides of that. I appreciate what you said, Libby, about having an off button, because I'm very much that way too. I can be the game show host or the radio host or wacky. And I like to wear silly costumes for my nieces and nephew and stuff. But I don't, I also have an off button. I'm not like Robin Williams or Jim Carrey that's going to be like annoying the entire, you know, meeting if we're trying to conduct business, right? I can settle down and I can focus. And I've always felt like I had two sides of my personality there as well. But I appreciate that in a team, you need everybody. So the way I kind of think about play is probably closer to Lisa, that I think we're so far off the rails that combining it or getting sophisticated about it or kind of measuring it is the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish, right? Let's start with just a play break. Or if you don't feel comfortable playing at work, then like take your lunch break and go do something just for you to recharge and have some fun so that you can go back and work again. Start there and then see how you can build on that and spiral into it and incorporate those things into your work and stuff. So Lisa, the question I had for you was about primordial sound. What is?
Oh no, that's me.
Oh, that's the other one. I asked the wrong people. I switched them.
Please do not ask me that.
No, I switched them. All right, so it's back to Libby. What? I'm not aware of this one. You're gonna have to teach me something.
No, I'm a certified primordial sound meditation teacher. So it's a type of meditation, and so that we use like a mantra mantra to take us deeper into the meditation. So we're using primordial sounds, which are really just like innate sounds within nature, like the sound of waves, the sound of the breeze. But we're using a mantra in that meditation style to take us inward as a vehicle of the mind to help create that silence. So Lisa,
it's funny that you're that, because like
she's not really the meditator of the two of us.
No.
When we talk about
I wanted to hear you make a primordial sound though, Lisa. That's what I was really hoping for.
That's hilarious.
That is funny. Well, tell me more about you mentioned kind of like six steps or ways that you incorporate play. Tell me more about your work and how you think it does fit into the workplace, because I struggle with that too. So I was going to sympathize with you there, Libby. I wore like a suit jacket for the first 25, 30 episodes of this podcast and other things, just because I didn't want to be the crazy, like wacky bow tie arrow through the head guy, in a play podcast. I wanted it to be professional until I had to realize, you're like, you know what? I am professional in what I do. I don't need to do that in my clothes. I can wear whatever is comfortable or expressive for me there. So how do you think about working this in for corporations or into the workplace?
Yeah, so I'll take that one. So I think first off, when I worked in corporate world, and I feel like when you did too, like there was a lot of things that, you know, there was a lot of great apps. We all wanted to do wellness, like things. And we all wanted to have foosball tables and wanted to have all those types of things. And those were great, but did they really make long-term change? Not really. They put band-aids on the real problem, or they taught us the what, like, okay, what is well-being? What is wellness? And like, what does a break look like? What it didn't teach was the how. And I think what makes Libby and I stand out amongst a lot of people is we are teaching people how to implement tools into their lives. And so we use our six pillars of play, which is motivation, inventive mentality, positive mindset, openness, superpowers, and awareness, so self-awareness. And a great playful way to remember that is it spells out MIMOSA. So MIMOSA is a great way to remind yourself to have a little bit of fun. And all six of these is really about focusing on how to embody a playful mindset, like how to add your strengths into your life versus focusing on your weaknesses, so your superpowers. How self-awareness is really actually, basically, we should be embodying that every day. My favorite one, and this is something that I learned a lot that I was missing when I was in the corporate world, is inventor mentality, so innovation. We use the word innovation a lot, but a lot of people don't even know how to utilize that, what that looks like, how to add play into that, and how it can really be a strategy for helping your bottom line with your company. And so what we do is we teach tools for each one of our pillars of play that people can implement into the workplace, but also in their lives, their personal lives as well. And so that is, I think, one of the biggest differences for us, is because we know that people, they think about well-being, they're like, I need that. And then they're like, I don't have an hour. And we're like, no, we aren't asking for an hour. We're asking for 5 minutes. You know, we know that, you know, 5 minutes every day is better than nothing. And 5 minutes every day over a long-term period is going to make changes. And so I think that is, you just have to start somewhere. And so for a lot of times, I think it's leaders, it's people stepping up and saying, hey, we have to work on this project. It needs to be a little bit more innovative. We need to think a little bit differently. Let's have some fun with it, but let's be strategic with it too. And then you can add these certain tools that we teach into your team meetings and make a change. Leaving like, wow, we checked off all the boxes, because who doesn't like to do that? Mm-hmm. We worked as a team, but we had a good time. We enjoyed each other's company. And I think that's, you know, another other aspects of it that comes into play with it.
Yeah. And the only other thing I'll add is that, you know, we know that, like, so most of within the workplace, so it's not just exclusive to that, but that's where primarily we're focused. We know that it's not just about the quantity of our work. It's about the quality of our work. And quality of work is directly impacted by the way that we feel. So do we feel good? Can we function effectively? So we are going to be productive and engaged if we feel good, which will impact the quality of our work. Science has shown us time and time again, and I know that you know this, that play is directly correlated to our well-being. And so when we think about what we do, what we're sharing are individual strategies for each individual. So for me and Relisa, we're completely different humans. We use the tools that we teach in different ways because we've learned how to personalize them. So what we're really focused on, individuals focus on their energy and on themselves, because it also has a greater impact on everyone around them, because energy is felt. You know, when you walk into a room, if you want to engage with somebody or if you don't, that's felt. Okay. So instead of focusing on what needs to be changed within everybody else, let's help people focus on themselves by doing a little bit of inner work, not going too deep. Again, we're not focused, but doing a little bit of work, helping them understand how these six pillars of play can be personalized into their lives and how they can directly impact their well-being or their playful mindset, as our pillars say. But then even beyond that, understanding the multiplier effect. Oxygen mask first. Like, when I take care of myself, every other person I come in contact with could be positively influenced like that or by that. And so that's what happens. It's kind of like, how do we help organizations understand that, like, this is part of the DNA of your culture? This is not just a Libby and Lisa show where we come in once, but like, how can you truly embody well-being as your employee's innate way of being within your workplace? Yeah.
I love that. And I would just add that it's not just us making this stuff up either, that, as you mentioned, there's been a ton of scientific studies that from everything that salespeople that are enjoying their job sell 33% more than people that don't. And it's like, well, yeah, that's obvious, right? If you like your work, you're going to have better energy and all that good stuff that you mentioned. But it's also crazy that when you measure customer satisfaction and net promoter scores and everything that companies want to measure, they all go up when it's a playful company and people are engaged and happy in the workplace, because it's not a little thing. It's an exponential thing that spreads out to your other teams, to your clients, your customers, you know, the referrals that they give. And so the revenue and profitability go up. It's crazy the amount of positive side effects. But I don't really understand where companies get this. Like, if we just measure harder, we work people more like machines, that we're going to get better results, because it hasn't proven out that way. You know, for me, there are some benefits, right? Or sometimes if you're in a factory or something, you need to have safety rules, right? You can't have people running around making up new processes in a machine line. But if you are trying to engage in creative work or innovation, like you mentioned, and connect with humans, or you're in sales or customer service, that is dramatically different. That is not an 8-to-5 like factory job that you could program a computer to do. And that to me is a big deal.
Well, and think about it too. I mean, when you think about the amount of stress that like each human is experiencing every day, like the science is even saying that we're going into fight or flight 8 to 14 times a day. So we're basically living our lives in fight or flight. Like, the body is trying to fight something. And so what happens is that as we're experiencing all of these perceived stresses around us, we can't think straight. So when you can't think straight, you're bringing that into the workplace. That's, of course, affecting your mood. It's affecting your productivity, the not being able to problem solve. You have brain fog. I have brain fog.
I know people that don't even come out of that state, right? They're just constantly, especially after the pandemic, in a state of stress and
anxiety. So to your point, why are we not approaching life more playfully so that we can work smarter, not harder?
Yeah.
Because we have clear minds, because we can think straight, because we can problem solve.
All right. I want to finish with a couple of fun questions for you, and then we'll play a game. First one is, what's on your fun bucket list? What do you still want to do outside of work that is maybe like a fun vacation, dream job activity you want to do? Got one, Lisa?
Yeah, I'll go. Well, first off, I love to hike. So I want to hike as many 14ers as I possibly can. But I would say that I would really like to go to Australia to surf too, and then just hang out with kangaroos. So like, that is actually something on my bucket list.
I was going to say, I really wanted to go to India, but you just made me realize I do want to go to like an elephant sanctuary and play with elephants.
Yes.
Just as always been my dream when I see people doing that type of stuff, like in Asia. So I would say probably like, you know, going running an elephant.
That'd be fun.
What's the most fun you've ever had, or the most fun for you?
Should we tell them about the night we sang karaoke?
Oh,
it's not the most fun. We had a lot of fun.
Honestly, we were together, but that's literally what came to my mind. I was like, but that we had fun in like a lot of ways, but I would say that a couple months ago, we went to Animal Kingdom. We went to Disney World. So that was one fun thing. And then the other thing is we sang karaoke together and we thought we were really great.
I was a karaoke host for 12 years. You don't want to see the recordings of those. That's a very much in the moment.
We were those people who were like, yeah. And then she picked Kygo, Higher Love. And I'm a Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus singer. So I was very caught off guard.
Both of those. Very good. Anything else come to mind, Libby?
What was that?
Anything else come to mind for you? Most fun?
No, I was just thinking that I feel like you and I are really spontaneous. Like for us, dance is our big thing. So we'll be in car rides. Like we go up to Northern Michigan a lot and hike over the weekends and stuff like that. And we are those girls that you're like driving next to and you're like dancing in the car and going like this.
Yeah,
and you know, those are the moments that I think about with us together specifically that like always just stick out is just getting lost in these moments together and like not really caring what other people think of us.
Yeah.
And it's really, I do that a lot with you. Like you bring that out. So.
Yeah.
That's nice. I love a good dance party or karaoke song. For sure. That's perfect. You can find them at bluewavewellbeing.com. Again, blue without the E, but the link is in the show notes below here. And Blue Wave Wellbeing on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. But they're Lisa and Lib on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, go hit subscribe right now. It's time to play a game. Do you want to play?
Yes.
Woo.
Let's do it.
All right. There you go. I always say you can't force people to have fun. So I like to ask, but nobody said no yet either. So you got awkward questions. Awkward questions is fun.
Yeah.
It's a would you rather style game. And I'm going to start you off with an easy one here. Would you get an implant that allowed you to communicate mind to mind with people if it was available?
No. So. You would. I would not.
I don't think I need an implant because I do feel like I have this ability to be
visible.
And I think you and I can do that with each other once in a while. Well, we are telepathic.
Yeah.
So I probably wouldn't because I believe I can.
I like that. All right. Next one. This is where it gets tougher. Would you rather have a child who was ugly but very smart or very good looking but pretty stupid? Which one would you choose?
Smart.
Yeah, I would say the ugly and smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's ways to overcome the ugly, but you can't beat stupid.
You can't pick stupid. Yeah, that's so true.
All right, two more. Would you rather have a tail or horns for the rest of your life?
I've never thought about that.
I feel like a little tail would be really cute, but horns might come in handy.
Yeah, no, I want a tail.
I'll take the horns then.
I'm surprised how many people go horns. I feel like, especially if the tail's like prehensile or something, you could have a lot of hide that. Or hide it. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, you got hats too.
But it
depends on the type of horn or the type of tail for sure. All right. One last one. What's the most disgusting thing you have eaten or would eat just for the bragging rights?
It's probably not disgusting to certain people, but I've had rabbit and octopus, and I don't like either of them.
Yeah, rabbit's a little gamey. Chicken, octopus, I was not a fan, a little rubbery.
The most disgusting thing, so I am not super adventurous with the way that I eat. So I would say that there has been nothing adventurous that I've really eaten because I totally play it safe. Even when I travel
rice and vegetables.
Yeah. I have not really tried a lot of crazy things. Maybe some fruits here and there, but this is a boring question for me to be answering.
All right. Well, next time you need a dare in Truth or Dare, Lisa, we got one.
Don't you worry. I got you.
Sounds good. Thank you for being on the show. You both did great and you win the game, which means you get a free 30-second commercial here. Any asks or gives for the audience that how can we help you?
I would just say the biggest thing, I think the biggest ask from us is to one, really focus on your well-being and prioritize yourself. Like that's the one thing that can really truly make a difference in the world is if you take 5 minutes a day to meditate, to go for a walk, to take some deep breaths, to tell somebody that you love them, to send a gratitude note. Like, it can totally change someone's day. So I would say that. And of course, we would love for you to follow us on YouTube, social media, help us spread the message, help us get the word out there. I think the biggest thing for us is that we just want people to feel good and to just view life differently. And so if that's by way of watching our videos, if that's by way of sharing a post or something like that, please just do that. Mm-hmm. Because it really is just about making this a better world. So
agree 100%.
All right. I like it. Thanks for being on the show again, Lisa and Lib on YouTube there, Blue Wave Wellbeing on the other socials, and bluewavewellbeing.com to find Lisa Rappin, or no, Libby Rappin, and Lisa Thompson, Lisa will rap for you if called upon. But it's Libby Rappin and Lisa Thompson. We'll see you next time. Find Playful Humans at playfulhumans.com. You can take a playfulness quiz, find out what your playful personality is, or join the community of other adults rediscovering the power of play. Now go do it.
Don't wait for tomorrow. Live for today. Keep on chasing the sunshine.